the gospel or the scripture from Romans chapter 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. For now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me that is in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Watching man, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of the death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We can hear the conflict in Paul, the Apostle Paul, as he writes that. And we can relate to that, can't we? Things that I want to do, I'm not doing them. Things that I don't want to do, I'm doing them. And we need to be able to confess that. And we were saying in our Sunday school class is that one of the things we need to make sure we all know is that we're all broken people. We all have foibles. We all have things that... We all need to be doing some things that we're not doing, and we need to stop doing some things that we are. And that's why we're here. And so, as we now turn our attention to the gospel, let's hear what our Lord Jesus says to people who weren't doing such good things and calls them to a better place. In Matthew 11, starting at verse 16, we read, "But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces who call out to the other children and say, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax gatherers and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." And then we pick it up at verse 25 as Jesus prays. "At that time, Jesus said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Let's pray together. Lord, we've heard these words, but we need to hear them in a fresh way today. And so we invite your Holy Spirit to be our teacher. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was growing up at Collingdale High School, and that's a picture of my high school, it is now called the Collingdale Community Center. But that's the high school that I attended, and every Saturday night was dance night. Now, not everybody danced, but lots of us paid our 75 cents to get into the dance. The music of two CHS, that's Collingdale High School, originals were invigorating. I mean, we just enjoyed, you know, just listening to the beat. They were one was called The Last Resort, a band that was from the school, and the other band was called the City Morgue. Such a creative name. And the gymnasium would rock to the sounds of Jimi Hendrix and Otis Redding, the Beatles, and Cream. And when the Bristol Stomp was played, the girls all lined up and their heels were hitting the floor and the walls were reverberating with the sound. But where were the guys? Wallflowers. All but a few of the daring guys. Wallflowers. I was one of the wallflowers. I didn't do line dances. I still don't do line dances. Some of you do. More power to you. Wallflowers are the people that line up against the wall and they say, I'm not getting involved in that. I'm going to hang here next to the mats, you know. There were wrestling mats that were up against the walls there in the gymnasium. And I kind of felt the fabric of those wrestling mats a lot right back here. But wallflowers, interestingly enough, is what Jesus is talking about when he uses the story of the children who are playing games in the marketplace. He says, it's like children, this generation is like children sitting in the marketplaces who call out to the other children and say, we played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. As this chapter opens, and we hit it at verse 16, but if you read back, you learn that John the Baptizer is in prison. And he sends his disciples to Jesus because he wants to make sure. I mean, after all, he's in prison now, and he was the one who was heralding the way, you know, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he thought, you know, this is really good news, but here I am now in prison. Are you really the one, or should we look for another? He needed reassuring. And what does Jesus say to him? He says, well, you know, you just look around you and see what happens. The blind are receiving sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Kingdom work has been happening on Jesus' watch. And John needed to be reminded of that. Because it's hard for us at times when we're sitting in prison and all this good stuff is not happening to us. We have to be reminded, you know, God is at work. And as God has at work, has been working in other places, God's at work even in ways I can't see, even though I'm sitting in a prison right now. I'm about to lose my head. That's okay. Yeah, easy for you to say. You're not sitting here. But God says, I want you to be able to rest in this. Kingdom work is happening. The poor have the gospel preached to them. And so Jesus is honoring John in this section now. He gives tribute to John and says, you know, John has been singing a dirge. Repent. Nobody wants to hear that. Stop doing what you're doing. That goes back to Romans chapter 7. Stop doing what you're doing. The things that are hurting people, the things that are hurting yourself, things that are not good for this community life, you got to stop that. That's what John was preaching. It was repentance. But they didn't want to hear that. Now, Jesus has been playing the flute. He's been announcing the kingdom. And he's saying, you know, good things are happening. And what did they say about John? Verse 18, look what it says. John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. But the Son of Man, you know, comes playing the flute. He came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard. And he keeps really bad company. Jesus says, wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. This isn't all talk, he says. If you get your eyes open and your hearts open, you'll see the kingdom party has begun. Why be a wallflower at the kingdom party? But it wasn't their idea. You know, that's one of the things that we have problems with. Sometimes we're all supportive of things that are our own ideas, but when somebody else has the idea, it's not our idea. Oh, that can't be good. And Jesus says, this is a really good idea. This is what God has been planning all along. Let's get with the dance. But not the religious leaders. Mm-mm. They're glued to the wall. They're the wallflowers at the kingdom dance. And they're criticizing what's going on out there. Look at all those people doing that Bristol stomp. How silly they look. As a matter of fact, there's probably too much percussion here. It must be something evil. And people say that at times about music. These religious leaders will not mourn their sin, nor will they dance at their freedom. They just line the walls and sit in their seats and say, we don't like this dance. The music's too loud, or too slow, or too classical, or too country. Sound like any wallflowers you know? Jesus says, I have a unique relationship with the Father. And we get at this in verse 25. He's telling them all about this, and now he goes into a rich time of prayer. It's pretty deep theological stuff. He says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Jesus is saying, there's a unique relationship between me and my Father God. What he's intimating here is I'm God the Son, and he's God the Father, and we understand what you don't. Not because he's trying to, you know, do a one-up job on anybody. He's just trying to say, we have wisdom and understanding that everybody else doesn't have. And you would do well to listen to what we're telling you, because it means life for you and for your community. Why are you still sitting on the sidelines? Why don't you get into this? And then he starts talking about an easy yoke. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Now, this was a big contrast to the wallflowers who had been putting heavy burdens on the little ones. You know, the poor, the oppressed, they've been making it even harder for them. And so, he issues an invitation. He says, to anybody who will listen, you want to dance? Come dance with me. He doesn't offer them an easy chair. He offers them a yoke. The yoke in Judaism is a symbol of obedience. Obedience to the law. You put upon yourself the yoke and you gladly carry the law because you know it leads to life. Well, it could lead to life. The problem is we don't know how to do it well. And so Jesus says, the Pharisees have been putting heavy burdens on you and the Sadducees. And by the way, the Pharisees and Sadducees can't even get together on this. They're at odds. I want you to know this is not an anything goes kind of life where you can do whatever you want. No, there are some rules here that kind of keep us inside the fence, where we're safe. But there's a lot to do inside the fence in this world that God has given to us. Little ones are dying in the city. Pharisees and Sadducees, they're at odds. Lepers are still outcasts. Brothers won't talk with one another. Just those guys across the river, you know, the River Jordan, where Jesus and John were there in baptism. If you look to the other side of the river, that's quote-unquote enemy territory. That's where the Ishmaelites are, the Arabs, and we're the good Jews. Israelite and Syrian, still going on. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. Come out on the dance floor with me, would you? Let's have some fun while we do this work. Is that the sound of music that I hear? God's playing the kingdom song. And he says, come on, this can be some fun. Yeah, not everybody likes to dance, but if you get into it, if you let yourself go, wow, we could have a lot of fun together. And we could get a lot of work accomplished. I always say, you can tell when the committee meeting, the board meeting is good, when there's a lot of laughter. When there are people laughing and enjoying one another's presence, knowing that, yeah, we've got serious work to do, but we are enjoying one another's company, and we're hopeful about the things that are being accomplished through this. Come out on the dance floor with me. Right, Judy? Let's get out on the dance floor. It doesn't mean you have to really, you know, you don't have to have taken lessons like Susan and Jim. And you ever see Susan and Jim on the dance floor, it's like poetry in motion. I just love to watch them dance. I wish I could dance like that. Maybe you could teach me. So you say, well, maybe it's a lost cause. Doesn't matter. We can have fun as we work. Seems to me Disney said something, you know, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Just whistle while you work. Sing a song. It makes it a whole lot lighter. An easy yoke. See, this easy yoke that Jesus is talking about is so much more, so much easier than the heavy yoke the Pharisees put on people. Because the work of distrust takes so much more effort than the work of reconciliation. Now, the work of really reconciliation takes work. But the work of distrust, it keeps going. It's the gift that keeps taking away from us. And it's really hard to keep distrusting a person. You know, like we have to keep crossing to the other side of the street instead of just staying on the sidewalk and saying hi to this person or shaking their hand or embracing them and letting some of the icy hatred melt. What we're talking about and what Jesus is talking about is, you know, when they're playing the flute, get in the dance. When they're singing the dirge, repent. But let's do these things so that we can get about the good work of the kingdom. We're all so very different, aren't we? I mean, just look around. We're people from all over the world in this place. And some of us are tall and some of us are short. And some of us are plump and some of us are skinny. Some of us are old and some of us are young. Some of us are kind of somewhere in the middle. We come from all walks of life. And here we are. God called us together. He says, now mesh. Learn how to dance. Learn how to work this thing out. In 1936, there was a crew of rowers from the University of Washington who entered the competition to represent the United States in the Olympics in Berlin. And there they are. This crew bested the Ivy League schools, you know, the ones who thought they were real, you know, the schools of the Northeast, who thought, you know, Yale, Harvard, Penn, Cornell, Princeton. These are the really good schools. If you're going to do any rowing, if you're going to be involved in crew, you want to go to those schools. Now here's the University of Washington, 1936. They bested all of those schools. And you know what they were? Not rich little kids. They were farm boys and sons of loggers and shipbuilders. And they were all shapes and sizes. Their statures, their personalities, their physiques were all wildly different. But they capitalized on their diversity. A book was written. In fact, I believe it's been turned into a movie. Daniel James Brown wrote the book, and this is what he says about their story. He says, races are won by crews, and great crews are carefully balanced blends of both physical abilities and personality types. A crew composed entirely of 8 amped up, overtly aggressive oarsmen will degenerate into a dysfunctional brawl in a boat or exhaust itself in the first leg of a long race. Similarly, a boatload of quiet but strong introverts may never find the common core of fiery resolve that causes the boat to explode past its competitors when all seems lost. Good crews are good blends of personalities. Someone to lead the charge, someone to hold something in reserve, someone to pick a fight, someone to make peace, someone to think things through, and someone to charge ahead without thinking. Somehow, all of this must mesh. That's the steepest challenge. Even after the right mixture is found, each man or woman in the boat must recognize his or her place in the fabric of the crew, accept it, and accept the others as they are. It is an exquisite thing when it all comes together in just the right way. Sounds like a church when we let Jesus lead. And that's all I'm going to say. Lord, here we are as your church. Sometimes we don't do the things that we want to do. Sometimes we're doing the things that we don't want to do. And we need to learn how to dance or to row and do it your way. Lord, give us grace with one another. And speak deeply into our hearts so that when the music starts, we leave the wall and we get out on the floor and we have fun and we get kingdom work done. Oh Lord, have mercy and fuel us with the fire of your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.